call up our final speaker for the session, Laura Husek. She's going to be talking about business case approaches and scaling up impact of food security innovation. So how to increase food security, how to scale up, and she is also a research award a recipient from IDRC.
Thank you so much. First, for those of you who may not be aware, IDRC is a crown corporation that supports research in developing countries. And today I'll be talking on scaling up food security innovations and what can be learned from a business case approach. I'll present to you on the current and future challenge of science and business cooperation. So what's the challenge? Science-based agriculture has developed many technologies, models, and practices to improve food security, but dedicated efforts are needed to bring those technologies into use. Science-business cooperation is important for bridging local contexts and complex systems, but it's often at the outskirts of research on food security. By private sector, I don't only refer to multinationals, but also to the small and medium-sized enterprises in developing countries that are so important to supplying inputs and linking producers to value chains. To address this challenge, I propose a business case approach. The business case asks not only what is technologically feasible, but what is viable and desirable for the people who use the technologies in the socioeconomic context. Today, I'll share lessons from applying this approach with researchers in Sri Lanka on post-harvest technologies for fruits. And I'll conclude with recommendations for researchers like yourself who may be interested in applying a business case approach to look at bringing your innovations into use. At IDRC, we've been interested in how our investments in knowledge and innovations can lead to large-scale positive change. This has led us to focus in on the business case. The business case is a tool to articulate potential impacts and to make strategic decisions on how to invest. The audience of the business case matters. It's a pitch to attract potential investors and also partners. And ultimately, it makes a case. It influences and is convincing to that audience. We identified four components of business cases that are relevant to food security innovations. First of all, the innovation itself. What is the core of the research results and the evidence that this innovation solves a problem more efficiently or affordably than alternatives? The market, which refers to who uses the innovation. What are the characteristics and the size of this group of people? The delivery mechanism, which is how the innovation actually gets into the hands of users and what actors or organizations may be well positioned to deliver that technology. And a cost-benefit analysis, which is a quantified assessment of the benefits that that technology offers to the user. The goal of this framework is to be applicable to all types of food security innovations, but I focused specifically on tangible products. I worked with researchers at Sri Lanka's Science and Technology Institute to develop business cases for two technologies. One was an edible wax that can be applied to soft fruits like papaya and mango, and another is a banana fiber paper as a packaging material, both which are ready for commercial rollout. 10 scientists and lab technicians participated with me, and they ranged in experience from graduate students to directors. Together, we consulted with 12 private sector organizations, some of which were already involved in the research and development process, and others were potential manufacturers or users of the technologies. They were our audience, and they included cooperatives, export companies, supermarkets, wholesalers, and large farms and outgrowers. The two post-harvest technologies that were examined. The banana fiber paper is a natural paper product made from banana stems, which are an agricultural waste product. This paper is now being produced by a small rural enterprise, and the researchers are continuing to add value to the paper by incorporating it with a compound that slows the ripening process to lengthen the storage life of fruits. The bio-wax effectively extends shelf life up for mangoes up to 3 weeks under cool conditions. And researchers are now collaborating with a large Sri Lankan enterprise to manufacture or to produce and apply the wax at a commercial scale. In both cases, the enterprise has played a key role in problem solving on the manufacturing processes. We found that while evidence was clear at a lab scale, a whole different set of research questions needed to be addressed to look at how those technologies worked when applied at a larger scale. Our private sector consultations revealed a commercial fresh fruit market that was in a stage of growth, where demand for fruits like mango and papaya was outstripping the supply that could be aggregated. Large farms were investing capital in mango production, and they were also engaging with smallholder farmers, who are key to getting that supply. This required training on production and post-harvest. And in some parts of the country, mango orchards, which have been neglected by war, are now being reclaimed and replanted. This indicates that the market may be in a position to aggregate sufficient volume of fruits for shipment, including by sea. And this may lead to greater demand for post-harvest technologies to extend fruit shelf life. Challenges remain in clarifying the delivery mechanism and the cost of production at commercial scale. We also had an important finding that marketing is necessary for generating demand, and this was not initially considered by the researchers. This is particularly important since post-harvest losses are often spread throughout the value chain, and there may be no incentive for one single actor to invest extra money to reduce these losses. The cost is also in flux, with assumptions remaining, particularly around the labor costs. And in addition, this links to questions of how the financial benefits from reducing food losses translate back to the producers. Shifting from lab to field to commercialization raised considerations of practicality and demand. Technology is only one piece of the solution. The context, market, and the link to food security must also be considered. Three key lessons emerged from the process of developing business cases. The first, creating meaning. This approach showed the need to shift from finding the perfect solution to finding practical solution. In order to do this, shared meaning had to be created among different sectors. This involved going beyond transferring the technology or transferring knowledge toward examining how the technology fits into the existing practices of the sector and what other conditions are necessary to change for the technology to be able to deliver benefits. Timing also matters. This involves scanning what is going on in the market, whether demand is sufficient or whether demand must be generated. Timing also matters in terms of the stage of the research process and when to reach out to potential private sector partners. Building partnerships is also central to the scaling up process. The Research Institute had a history of working with several of the companies, and these relationships proved vital. Trust was essential. Previously, the business people thought that the scientists would only come up with expensive technologies that would increase their costs. And the scientists were skeptical that the business people would only cut corners and take shortcuts to get a quick profit. So it takes time to build these partnerships and relationships for the long run. So what does this case study tell us about scaling up innovations? First of all, researchers don't need to become business people, but business literacy for scientists is important and able to start conversations across different sectors. Financial sustainability of innovations should not be an afterthought, but should be integrated right from the start of the research. This is particularly important for innovations to deliver on development impacts. And this links to the important question of equity. Who can access and benefit from these technologies? Market-based approaches can be useful in solving some, but not all problems related to food security. This is why the role for interdisciplinary research is so important to address the systemic and institutional barriers to food security. Additionally, it is important to consider the legal and institutional structures that shape how scientists and researchers can engage with different types of private sector actors. This includes considerations of intellectual property rights, different policy barriers or incentives, and innovative funding models that are emerging. as well as managing risks associated with the research and commercialization process. In a context where, to summarize, a business case is an analysis from a business-oriented perspective, including elements of cost, benefit, impacts, and financing. It raises questions that are sometimes left out of science-based research projects, particularly how the innovation actually gets to the end user and what is the financial sustainability, whether it is for-profit or non-profit. In a context where social entrepreneurship and shared value are driving new business models and approaches, science and business cooperation offers an opportunity to transform research results into large-scale impact. Thank you.